What the Heck's your source for Warhammer Underworlds in under 30 activations waiting for your upgrades to thaw out and come online. I'm your co-host, Davey, and with me is my co-host who always stays frosty, Brian. How are you?
Sup, doing well.
We are coming at you for our Celebration of Underworlds week, and this is to cover all the huge number of releases that all dropped kind of at the same time. If you're listening to this on the day of release, this is hopefully coming to you on the Sunday, and you'll have four more releases after this. You've already heard about Zundara's Gravebreakers, and we have our work cut out for us. If this is just what you picked up in the middle of that, we're trying to cover daily until we get caught up with all these different decks. There's so much to cover. This one, historically, we would kind of do a card by card. We decided to try something a little different. If you want a card by card, you can definitely go into our blog where we do exactly that. Here, Brian and I are going to cover some of the highlights of Rhymelocked Relics, and then we're going to try and build a deck right out of the gate with it. We haven't quite decided. We've got a couple options, and we're gonna see where the spirit moves us as far as that goes.
Yep, we're going to nail it on the first try. It's an A-tier list.
Yeah, exactly. When somebody wins the next Grand Clash with the deck we're about to build, you're legally required to give us credit for it. So I think that holds up in court.
Royalties in the form of acrylics, please.
All right. We are, because of the sheer volume of stuff to cover this week, we are foregoing our usual segments. We'll be back to community shout-outs after this avalanche is over. But in the meantime, Brian, I'm ready to jump right in. How about you?
Yeah, this is a good kind of avalanche. Let's go.
Yeah. Yeah. Get out of here, Abyssoth. The Rhymelocked Relics, before we get into individual cards, Brian, if you had to describe this deck, and I'll put myself under the knife here too as well, but if you had to describe this deck, how would you describe this for somebody who was wondering if they wanted to pick it up to pair it with something?
Being very literal here, it's Invasion Aggro, and your upgrades are Rhymelocked, which means that they're on a timer before they come online.
Yeah. I would say it's Invasion Hold as much as aggro. There is a lot of mention of holding and holding in enemy territory. But often
I think I potatoed there. I thought I said hold, but aggro. frozen potato.
Yeah. Got some frozen hash browns from the aisle.
I woke up early from work shift. So yeah.
Yeah. I know how that goes. So I think that's our, if you have a warband that you think can hold in enemy territory, can invade in enemy territory, and could benefit from some powerful, though a not immediately available objective or upgrades, then this may be the one for you. Rather than hitting every card, we're going to hit some highlights here. And a great place to start is the objectives. Just on a broad scale, at least five of these objectives, and some of my numbers may be a little off here, but I think five of these objectives either want you to hold two or more objectives or hold more than the opponent. And 9 of the 12 want you to interact with objectives in some way. So that is that's about as focused an objective deck as we've seen in a while. We often will see a more scattered thing. This is really pushing you to do a clear thing. Now, you could still dip into this deck without doing that if you already had a pretty strong faction deck, and we're talking with Nemesis building here. As to say, it's not the only reason you would do this deck, but certainly if you can do this sort of thing, makes it easier. Before we get into this, we should explain what we mean by this Rhymelocked Relics thing, because there is a plot card.
There is a plot card and an art card. Dope art card, similar to the Void Curse Thralls art. But the Rhymelocked Relics plot card, if you don't mind, I'll just read through it.
Go for it.
If you include one or more cards in your decks that bear the Rhymelocked Relics symbol, show this card to your opponent and then reveal your warband step and use these rules in the game, as for all plot cards. When you give a Rhymelocked upgrade to a friendly fighter, that card is not revealed. Instead, it is placed face down. While that card is face down, it is Rhymelocked and has the Thaw ability. The Thaw ability as follows. In the reaction step following an activation step, place a Thaw counter on this card. When this card has three or more thaw counters, remove each thaw counter on this card and turn this card face up. So that's after each activation step, yours or the opponent's. But that is a significant amount of time to wait.
Yeah, so if I play it in a power step after my opponent's turn, then I'll have my own activation, an enemy activation, and then my own activation again. I will have my three. So you're going to miss three activations, either two of yours and one of your opponent's or the other way around before this comes online, unless you take some power card help. All right. And that's an important piece to understand before we get into these cards. Back to where we were, Brian. Mm-hmm. What objective would you like to highlight?
Well, I'm going to call out a two glory surge that is a dual total conquest. Score this immediately after opponent's activation step. If one or more enemy fighters are out of action and your warband holds two or more objectives in no one's and or enemy territory.
It's an interesting fighter to put in the art here. It's Malag, who I don't believe has the ability to hold two objectives.
Right.
is one of our favorite things to just point out. Card art that couldn't possibly do it. Yeah, I mean, a two glory surge is spicy. Are you calling this out as achievable or as like a reach, or what grabs your attention most on this one?
I think it mainly any time there's a two glory surge, it's worth calling out, but more importantly, it's basically like path to victory, but it requires that you hold in no one's territory or enemy territory, and that's kind of the vibe of a lot of the objective cards here.
That makes sense.
I mistakenly called it invasion aggro, but anytime you're trying to hold objectives in enemy territory or no man's land, it is inherently going to receive aggro.
Yeah.
So that's where it's like it gets dicey, because there is a lot of glory in this objective deck. I think I counted 19, which is pretty heavy for a simple rivals deck.
Yeah.
But it is certainly with risk.
Sure.
Because you're exposing yourself in enemy territory.
Sure.
So I almost wonder if the art is reflecting the attempt to score this on Molag.
Yeah, that fair enough. I'll go for another surge here. This is one that I think is just solid. This is a Shattered Defenses surge duel. Score this immediately after a friendly fighter's attack action if that attack action was successful and the attacker is holding an objective in no one's or enemy territory. I really do like this kind of, this is a, you almost think of it as like a easier kill surge. You will have to roll dice because you'll have to get a successful attack off, but it won't have to be with lethal damage. And it gives you reason. And it's also, this will score after any attack action. So it's not after an activation. So if you have some way of triggering an attack out of activation, you know, be it like I think we're looking at Gartok here, punching a goblin in the face.
Yeah,
so he could be doing his react attack. Or some such. So there is, I don't know. I think those are just solid. They will get you onto an objective and get you glory for it if you can land that attack. So I think that opens it up, and especially so for someone who has range two, range three, or the ability to not be driven back.
Another surge duel that I would like to call out is Icy Grip. I think this is very achievable. Score this immediately after an opponent's activation step, so they get to respond and try and thwart this. Your warband holds two or more objectives, and one or more of those objectives are in no one's and or enemy territory. So really, it's hold two, and one of them be essentially exposed to the enemy. You know, if you got a warband that has move shenanigans, thinking of something like Scurry or just, just any route to multiple moves in an activation, it's pretty doable. Even if you'd likely have to build contingencies and try and move an extra fighter onto so that they couldn't take both out. Just to secure.
Yep.
But yeah, whole lot of possibilities with that one. I think it's one of the more achievable ones, but your opponent's gonna, if they know this deck, they should be looking out for that.
Yeah. I'll bring up an end phase here. I think we've hit several surges actually, and the other thing, you know, Icy Grip, that I cannot remember what the objective was from the Beast Grave era. That was just a staple. It was one that didn't give your opponent a chance to respond because it scored
it's
after
one
me.
That Grimwatch we're a huge fan of, right?
Yeah, yeah, lots of warbands, but Grimwatch in particular. And this one, so this one is just that bit slower. But if you can have the ability to prevent enemy pushes, or if they just whiff, or you have someone high defense, then I think that's pretty solid just for positioning.
Yeah, I thought of that one too, and it's going to eat me up until I remember.
An end phase one here, I think, is a good, and it kind of sidesteps some of the hold in enemy territory ones. This is Icebound Defenders. Your warband holds two or more objectives, and your warband holds each objective in one or more territories. So that's for two glory. I think that's just solid. Any warband that is focusing on holding things, you've got multiple paths to go after that. You can help set that up in the setup where if you get an objective into no one's territory, then all of a sudden you are all set with... you may only have two in your territory, then it's easy to hold two and all in your territory. And even if like something wacky happens, this occasionally occur where you have just one in your territory and the rest are in no one's or enemy. All of a sudden, all you have to do is hold the one in your territory and any other one, and you've got two glory. Like this seems, if you are a warband that is caring about holding stuff, then I think this is actually a pretty solid one to reach for. Nice two glory end phase, bulk out your situation.
Yep. And just I want to call out Wintry Contest here because it is a supremacy card. Hold three objectives, three glory in the end phase, but you do need to have one or more of your friendly fighters that are holding one of those three objectives to have one or more rhymed locked upgrades. So
yeah,
there is some play still in the objective deck with the rhyme locked upgrades. Usually it just requires that one of the fighters participating in the goals of the objective card to have an upgrade.
Yeah.
And yeah, it doesn't matter whether it's thawed or still rhyme locked.
Right. That's pretty important. Because this is the sort of thing where like, having played Grimwatch and that sort of thing, sometimes I'll get on like four objectives just as insurance. Be like, okay, they can kill somebody off of one of these or push somebody off, but then I'll still have three, but I'm going to hold this rhyme locked or in this case, rhyme locked, but I'll hold some piece that's important for this equation and not drop it until I know who's actually going to be on the objectives. That can be important with masks and that sort of thing. So
yeah. I was checking again on the plot card because I remember it saying, while that card is face down, it is rhyme locked. So they just wanted to make sure that it still applied as a rhyme locked card, even if it was essentially showing the backside of it. So
that's a good point.
Yeah.
As you know, obviously this is harder supremacy, but only incrementally harder supremacy if you're leaning into the deck at all. So
if anybody that was interested in supremacy is certainly interested in this, I'd say.
Yeah. And again, we talk about the things that are harder to do in Nemesis. In Nemesis, it's harder to find that supremacy level scoring. We usually are talking about it in the context of having a harder time finding damage and that sort of thing, but that's obviously one too. Any other objectives you wanted to mention, or should we talk some of the more interesting gambits?
Before we talk about gambits, I almost feel like we should cover some of the upgrades because some of them will deal with rhyme locked and therefore the gambits kind of reflect on. Like some of them are more like bringing the rhyme locked online and stuff like that.
Totally on board. Let's do it.
Yeah. All right. So there's six rhyme locked upgrades. So there's four that don't have the rhyme locked keyword. So to cover my favorite, and I think the most important rhyme locked card in here is Layfrost Conduit.
Very nice.
So this one is -1 defense to a minimum of one from enemy fighters during this fighter's attack actions. While this fighter is holding an objective, this fighter supports each friendly fighter.
That's on offense and defense.
Yeah. Whew. Those are two amazing effects.
Yeah. Especially in the current meta where we are seeing just fighters that innately have multiple defense dice or are getting it from Armor of Ice or Moving mm-hmm. Mark or Tumbler is the, maybe the other one that I'm trying to think of. Mm-hmm. I think the number has been crunched a little bit on some accuracy things, and minus one defenses is not always quite as good as you think, but it is really good, especially if you can, you know, be so certain that you're going to face somebody with two block, which you are. So not range restricted either, right? Like,
no, crazy.
Yeah.
I think this is a card that warrants being held on a timer.
Right. You're saying, you know, so presumably the central conceit of this deck is here are these upgrades. Gosh, I always want to say objective or something. Here are these upgrades that are so good that they need to be on a timer.
Yeah. That they can't just be used first or second activation. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm down. I think that makes sense.
Yeah. What stands with you?
Yeah, well, let's go with Jellid Cyclone, and this is also Rhyme Locked reaction. So once it's down, reaction, use this after this card is turned face up. Remove this fighter from the board, and then place the fighter on an empty hex that contains an objective token. Then you can give this fighter a charge token. That on its own is just kind of like a teleport, mm-hmm. which can be pretty tremendous, especially for a deck that is asking you to do so much with objectives in enemy territory. So you can use this to like scoop mm-hmm. a guy out of your backfield, drop him way in the other player's backfield. That's pretty great. Mm-hmm. And then it also has reaction. Use this after this fighter's activation, push this fighter one hex. I think that's just a real solid utility one. Yep. You're not required to put the charge token on when you do the teleport, but you can if you're looking to get yourself into a charged out situation, which is
right.
pretty great. Like, hey, I've got
you
this fighter.
You can give this fighter.
Yeah, exactly. Wow. Or you're teleporting like somewhere else on the board and you're primed for a charge or attack or whatever. That's
very versatile.
Yeah.
Like if you're a warband that doesn't have any innate movement shenanigans, here it is. You at least have one teleport to catch your opponent.
Yeah. I'm interested. This is just a quick aside. But with this deck that cares so much about being on objectives in enemy territory, there's some matchups where that may be tough sledding because the other warband is already trying to do that.
Yeah.
And so now you guys are both fighting over the same things. There's some warbands who don't especially care about doing that. And it'll be interesting to see how much those warbands, when they're facing this, say like, I guess I'm going to cover up these objectives just in case, or, you know, how much they sacrifice their own game plan to mess with yours.
Yeah. It doesn't require that you teleport to one in a specific territory. So you can always potentially, you know, just use it to reposition, get closer, like take a fighter mm-hmm. that was in your backfield and move them up so that they can just walk.
Yeah, totally.
But I do see like there's going to be an immense amount of pressure if you are like this thing's about to unlock. You mm-hmm. charge with a fighter trying to get the enemy fighter off of the objective token. And then this guy would then teleport in after the activation.
Yeah.
There's going to be an immense amount of pressure for that attack to land. But I think there's also like power steps where you could even remove Thaw, or there's not power steps, power cards and ploys that you can use to remove Thaw counters if you needed a delay thing. But that's getting a card combo, and I don't necessarily think you're trying to do that. But if you wanted to, you could try and time it, especially if you're playing this as a Rivals deck all on its own.
Yep. Yep. Concur. That's two pretty powerful Rhyme Locked cards. We might have snagged the two most powerful here, but
I would say.
Is there anything else you want to highlight from the?
I think there's not every one of these I think is worth the timer, which is a bit unfortunate. But there are, I think, two more that are worth calling out. One is still Rhyme Locked, the Snowblind Cloak.
Rhyme Locked.
It is not.
No.
Okay. Interesting.
It could be almost. I mean, it is pretty boss.
Yeah, so we've seen, so the Snowblind Cloak, we had the Frostworm Cloak, and now the Snowblind Cloak. You cannot give this to a large fighter. Minus one damage to attack actions that target this fighter while this fighter is holding an objective in no one's or enemy territory to a minimum of one. I think this one's much more balanced than Frostworm Cloak and is precisely the kind of defense that you're going to need when invading
and holding. Yeah.
I think this is fantastic. You charge a fighter in, plop them on an objective, even better if they have some sort of no push tech or they're just on guard. Like if you have some sort of reaction to put them on guard as well, you drop this on there and be really immovable, hard to shift. I think it's a fantastic inclusion on an invade hold deck like this.
I would agree. If you are trying to score that shattered defenses, then Polar Connection is another one you're probably interested in. Also Rhymelocked, plus one dice and innate single support to this fighter's range one or two attack actions while this fighter is holding an objective. You know, plus one dice is just straight up good. There was a Guided by Fate, I think, is in Paths of Prophecy, and that's you have to be holding, or does that work if you're targeting somebody who's holding as well? They say, but it can be pretty tough to find these plus one dice upgrades. So
plus one dice, and you just have an innate success.
Yeah,
You require to roll a success as well in order to kick that innate on.
Well, it's an innate single support, so you must have But if you have, if you are supported in that attack, or if for whatever reason single supports are just successes for you, like if you have. I don't know, like Ripa's got an upgrade that makes it happen for adjacency and stuff like that. Then it just, you'll start your roll before you even roll any dice. You have a success.
So. Good. All right. Good to know. I didn't want that to be a success regardless of whether or not there was a supporting, friendly fighter.
Right. Right. You'll have it rolled. And if you're in like a, I don't know, like a, championship build, then maybe the, there's a Beastbound Assault thing is like, I don't know. But so I'm just a Guided by Fate. You just have to be on, or your target has to be on a feature token. So it's fairly comparable to that. But I think in the right warbands or the right upgrades, this is a pretty amazing accuracy boost for folks. Yep. So pretty solid.
Yeah. And I think I just want to do a quick shout out to Chillblain Armor. It is not Rhymelocked. This fighter's defense characteristic is 2 and cannot be modified further.
Yeah, I like that as a design. We've seen a lot of these cards coming out that say, here, have 2 block or whatever. This says, all right, let's pump the brakes for a second. You can get to 2 defense, but you can't go from dodge to block. And also, if you have stuff in faction to increase your defense, you can't go even higher than that. So, good deal.
Now, I think... Before we move on from the objectives, I wanted to
upgrades. Scatter.
me too. You infected me. All right. Before we move on from the upgrades, I wanted to point out a good. So, like Skylar had mentioned, that there's a mechanic in other card games, like traps, where when a card is played face down, they kind of offer the threat of it might be a trap, so maybe not worth attacking that fighter. There is not something like this. There is not something like a trap in this deck. I think that would have made it really spicy if there was a rhyme locked card that kind of blew up in the opponent's face. That way your opponent had to second guess whether or not to try and kill a fighter who's you know, trying to thaw a rhyme lock.
Sure.
That would have been really spicy. But the closest thing to it, I think, is a upgrade Frostbite. This is not Rhymelocked, and it's a reaction after an activation step in which this fighter's range 1 attack action dealt damage to the target. Pick one of the target's upgrades that is not Rhymelocked. Even if that fighter is out of action, turn that card face down. That card is Rhymelocked. That card follows the rules for Rhymelocked upgrades on the Rhymelocked Relics plot card until the end of the game. So you can use it to pick apart a tooled up Voltron fighter with a upgrade.
Sure.
So I think that's cool that we can flip Rhymelocked back on our opponent and freeze a upgrade that we particularly don't like.
Yeah.
I think a fun use case scenario is targeting a vulnerable fighter and turning off their plus one wound.
Yeah. Finding a way to knock that out. You got to deal the damage. So sometimes it'll be tough to get through the, like, the defensive stack.
Right.
But if you can, yeah, totally. Then this effectively becomes like a plus one damage, you know, in that, or a temporary plus one damage, maybe. Yeah. In that scenario. But
if doing my scenario. Yeah,
sure. Yeah, I think there are upgrades you hate to see come out. And if you have the ability to cancel them, that's pretty sweet.
So. Yeah. So, do you have a ploy that you want to particularly jump on?
Well, I think I'm just as a partner to that. There's Frozen Solid, which is non-range restricted. Choose a fighter that has one or more upgrades that are not Rhymelocked. So you can actually pick one of your own. If you are needing, like, say you had upgrades out that were not Rhymelocked and you're trying to get that Wintry Conquest you're talking about, like, okay, I'm going to Rhymelock one of these real quick. But this is a 2 in 3 chance because it'll go off on channels and crits. So you can do it from afar and you don't have to get a successful hit in. So that can be pretty cool. It can be a way to soften up the defenses on a fighter before you go in, for instance. Or if your attempt to knock somebody down didn't work, then you can shut down their turn off their reroll or something like that. So
yeah, lightning and crit, 66% chance of going off.
Yep, you are correct.
Nice. And a particularly horrific looking Valerik on the card.
I wonder, yeah, it might be.
It's not her good side.
No. No, it's not. That dude's got a shovel. That's toil.
A shovel?
Yeah, it's toil from the Gravebreaker. So you can see he's got the little handle. It's the spade of the shovel is up above the Fire Slayer's head.
I want to say you're wrong, but I'll have to look up later.
All right. definitely not looking good though.
No, it's not their good angle.
Yeah.
All right.
What about you though? What do you got?
So what's it? In Breakneck Slaughter, there's Slick Ice that is a domain card that applies Rhymelock or essentially Breakneck Slaughter's impetus to everybody during a round. Mm-hmm. Similarly, I think Sudden Thaw is also a domain. Each time a Thaw counter would be placed on a face-down Rhymelocked upgrade, place one additional Thaw counter on that card. This effect persists until the end of the round or until another domain gambit is played. So basically, yeah, accelerate the thawing of your Rhymelocked upgrades. Just know that, like I was, like my example, Slick Ice, this will apply to you negatively as well if you are trying to take one of their upgrades offline with Rhymelocked, whether it's Frostbite or Frozen Solid. So stuff to think about, but I think it's interesting. Can certainly help to accelerate that process.
Yeah. I think another good one. This one's gonna be a little bit of a nod to our more general deck builders, because this one does not interact with Rhymelocked upgrades, but interacts with the core plan for a lot of the objectives. And this is Glacial Advance. Choose up to 2 friendly fighters and push each chosen fighter 1 hex. After each push, that fighter must be holding an objective. Then give each chosen fighter 1 move token or 1 charge token. So handing out those moves or charges at a glance or in earlier days, you might be then like, that's kind of a penalty, but being able to, this feels like the card that has been designed for this charged out rule that we now operate under.
Having the choice is amazing.
Yeah, exactly. So you're not going to be able to use this to like get somebody closer into charge range, because they, you know, no matter what, they're not going to be able to charge after this unless you have like some Elathane style special rule or something like that. But we'll let you get those Horde Warbands closer to charged out if that's what you want. It can hand out move tokens if, I don't know, you're a Warband that cares about having a lot of move tokens, which I can think of Zarbag's Gits, I think, sometimes want to do that. Just some more, if it like a double push and it says, oh, you have to end up on an objective. I'm like, well, that's often the people who are really want the double pushes, that's what they're trying to do anyway. So I think this is a real solid one, and I like the flexibility with the move or the charge on there.
Similarly for helping to hold objectives, cool heads, friendly fighters holding objectives cannot be pushed. This effect persists until the end of the next power step. Timing is a little awkward on this in the sense that it only is for one activation, so you got to time it right on when your opponent is going to try and thwart your holding.
Yeah. But what I like is if you, like, say you are going, if you didn't, you know, a lot of times as a hold, if I'm running a warband that wants to hold objectives, I like to have the last activation because it gives me a chance to confirm that, but you don't always get it. And so in this case, you drop it in the power step after your last activation, and now you can't be pushed, during the activation, but also the enemy power step. If they had some sort of distraction effect or center of attention or something like that, they're not going to be able to yank you off those. It is board wide for you. And it goes all the way through the rest of the current power step, the next activation, and the next power step, which is pretty long duration for this kind of card.
Yeah, and with Thorns coming back, I don't know if Howling Vortex is still as it was.
TBD. Listener, you may already know. We have not quite gotten there yet in our reviews. So
We've divvied it up. I haven't gotten access.
Yeah. Oh, I just thought of another thing with this Glacial Advance. It is choose up to two. So there's a vote for a Spyclaw. Spyclaw loves to be able to choose two.
Very good. Yes.
I think that more or less covers it. Is there anything else gambit wise that you want to hit up?
Don't take Bleak Outlook. It's just bad.
This is a roll of crits are considered to be successes, not critical successes in attack and defense rolls in the next activation step. Somebody better at math than us can figure out what the change is. I don't think it's weird because it can be used offensively or defensively. But
it applies to you and your opponent's dice, whether you're the attacker or defender. And I think, it would have to come out to who has the bulk of the dice, but I think it's so niche. I don't like it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, situationally good if somebody's got a whole bunch of Grievous stacked up on one fighter, but that's too situational.
God, I'm still waiting for a fighter to be Grievous too.
Well, we already know that Spyclaw no longer has that upgrade for Grievous too. So, I've done it occasionally where I've stacked multiple Grievous ones on one fighter. The only other thing I want to say is the art on Rays of Dawn is pretty metal.
Pretty baller.
Yeah. This is the OG Steelheart has put on the Arctic crown, which we didn't talk about, but appears to be like a crown that like directly spikes out of your head. And so
But it's like liquid blood.
Yeah.
It's metal.
It's intense. Yep. The effect is pretty meh, but other than that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, having worked through some of our highlights there, what warbands kind of jumped to mind when you were looking at this for building?
Well, if you're really leaning into the objectives here and not trying to like cherry pick and rely on your faction deck, this deck really wants you to hold an enemy territory. So it's like even one step further than Fearsome Fortress. And that can be a real challenge for a lot of warbands because battle plans rarely survive contact with the enemy. So I can't think of too many elite warbands that would be able to stand up to that punishment. And so I go to Swarm Warbands, and they're not in a great spot because they're at a disadvantage with the charged out rule, but also because of glory bleed as they die in loose fighters. We do have two of the like vintage swarm war bands in Zarbag's Gitz and Thorns of the Briar Queen coming back. So I have a lot of hope for those. I haven't yet gone into them. there's potential there. Not so much holding, but the Plague Pack do innately want to be in enemy territory already to corrupt it.
Yeah, and they can do it more efficiently if they can get onto enemy objectives, right?
And they have insane surges that can help with getting some of these Rhyme Locked upgrades out early and get the timers rolling. So maybe.
Yeah.
But also Spikeclaw Swarm, like they're an invasion heavy faction. Also, yeah. Grimwatch come to mind because they have the respawn. They can bring fighters back. They very much care about holding objectives.
They're weirdly fast. They like, they also, part of the reason they like holding an enemy territory often, or, you know, you already mentioned the resurrect, but when you start running them onto objectives in enemy territory, then you put the opponent in this position. It's like, mm-hmm. well, do I stay and kind of dig this ghoul off this objective, mm-hmm. or do I go in and try and put pressure to prevent the inspire? Cause they gain quite a bit off the inspire.
Yes, they do.
Yeah, so I think they're a good shout on that.
As a Grimwatch player, are you always like you should always be trying to prevent the inspire?
I think there are some matchups where you don't, but you better know exactly why you're not preventing the inspire. If you weren't paying attention or got distracted or whatever the case may be, then it's a super punishing inspire to give. There's a few matchups where like they might think they can outrace you or just starve you too much. And I've gotten into those, but those are a little more rare. I mean, yeah, back to Spikeclaws, they have curiously their new faction deck really doesn't have anything that actually cares about holding, but has a lot that cares about being in enemy territory. So, I think we're onto something there. As a joke, I mentioned Daghawk Stab Lads for the face down lulls. You have face down gambits and face down upgrades. And show game. It's just a mystery what I'm trying to do over here. Then, because we mentioned Spikeclaws, which is brand new, and when people first hear this, they probably won't have them in their hands. Grimwatch are out of print, hard to get to. So I was trying to find something that would work that is both in print and already available. And hear me out, but I think actually Farstriders might have some play here. And okay. Here's where I'm coming from with that. Farstriders, they have amazing gambits. Like you could take almost all their gambits. And not that the gambits here are bad, but they're not like, if you're not choosing to lean particularly into the Rhyme Locked, you know, playing with Thaw counters, then you maybe don't need to grab a bunch of these. Farstriders, you really don't want to take a lot that says hold two, but one of their best in-house objectives is hold one. They do care about holding one here and there, and there's quite a few that are surge if you successfully attack on an objective in enemy territory. Like they also kind of want to invade if they have an upgrade that, like there's a defrosted, which is did you flip something while you're holding an objective. A lot of things that you can kind of score just for holding the one or for having upgrades. And honestly, the weakest spot of the current Forest Riders is their objectives, but their upgrades are pretty C level. Like they're not great. And I think there is any number of the ones from this deck that you'd be happy to put in. Like they would love sitting on an objective and using Lay Frost Conduit.
They're going to love Snowblind Cloak, Lay Frost Conduit, Polar Connection.
Even Rhymeworm Skin Boots is this, you can't be pushed by an enemy warband. So you just stand there and turret and say, I've got this big boost for standing on this, objective and you can't get me off it because my defense is good and I've got some great ranged attacks to start throwing around. So
Chilblain Armor if you can't get that inspire automatically.
Yeah, well, because you almost never can. You need to make those guys need to make a range, like a two different attack profile attacks in one turn, and there's just not enough activations to get both of them. And then you're more likely to want to keep activating the one. So, yeah, Chilblain, I often would be happy to put that on. So,
okay, I don't quite see the objective deck coalescing, but I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah, it does. So I suspect that you will end up with a couple that are kind of a reach, so kind of a stretch. But that has been the case with almost every Far Strider deck I've tried to build.
Yeah, it's also Nemesis to an extent.
Yeah, right. But we should build something. What do you want to build with?
I'm trying to look through their deck right now, especially their objective. I wanted to start there.
Sure. I mean, we could try to build a Skaven deck on the fly if we want.
I like this Farstrider idea. It's not where I expected to go. I do also kind of like my call out of Plague Pack.
I would go for Plague Pack too. That Skylar can tell us how wrong we are with what we end up building. But.
I just don't know. I mean, hell, Chilblain armor is really good because they typically don't go up to two. Having Snowblind Cloak is also great in there. I mean, it's not going to save them, but both of those are not rhyme locked, so that's fantastic. I still don't think Arctic Crown is good on just about 90% of the.
Yeah. I mean, again, Farstriders kind of like it because they can get it on somebody in the backfield and just toss them forward if they need to, but it's not great. Mm.
I don't know. I'm really liking Plague Pack right now, but.
Let's give Plague Pack a shot. They're
All right. Going Plague Pack. We're going to have an Arctic glacier locked plague released from the ice and. I'm locked.
Gross. I love it. all right. Well, I think a great place to start is usually in the objectives. And as we build those out, we figure out what the rest needs to look like. So I think, Brian, you were saying that, and I agree with this, that Plague Pack's just got a white hot set of surges. So let's take a quick look and see what surges are kind of auto include from that.
Yeah, useful distraction, always good.
Yep, can't go wrong with that. I think Scuttling Horde is the third or successive move action, which is super easy. I think that's got to be in there.
Move action, so Glacial Advance wouldn't trigger this.
It would not, but I think moving three people was pretty solid.
Yeah. Would Gellid Cyclone also wouldn't do that?
Nope.
Okay. I don't know. Normally, Scuttling Horde is a Void Curse call for me. But they do have an infaction ploy for a move. So.
Yep, which I think you take. I think it's just one that you can charge three times, or if you're trying to avoid initial contact, you can wander around a little bit. But what else we've got?
Rabid Harbingers. After an opponent's activation step, if your warband holds two or more objectives and one or more friendly befallers are on an objective in your territory.
Yep, that's super easy in your own territory. Let's grab that.
Yep, just gonna have to park a befowler way in the back of your home field, and
Blessed by Corruption. I've spun my gears on it a little bit. Sometimes just because you have to have a friendly minion on an objective in enemy territory.
Yeah, they are all minions except for your leader.
Yeah, but it does kind of nest pretty nicely with what some of the other things are that are happening in the
holding.
Yeah, that's four surges already. Let's take a quick look at what surges are available from Rhyme Locked and
Icy Grip.
What's that? Icy Grip? Yeah, let's go for it.
Yep. Hold two.
Yeah, hold two, and then it's either Shattered Defenses, get a successful attack while on an objective in enemy or no one's. Defrosted is pretty passive. You can just give a Rhyme Locked upgrade to somebody in your backfield and let it thaw out on them. Kind of great.
I mean, we already want a Befowler parked in the back.
Yeah. Frostbitten Strike is a kill surge that doesn't care how they die. It can be from an attack or anything, and all you have to be is holding an objective, so that's pretty tempting.
Is Total Conquest worth consideration?
I think that's holding too much. I think that's a little... I would back off it.
Hold two in a kill.
Hold two in enemy territory in a kill. No one's our enemies.
Okay.
And it's after an opponent's activation. I'm a little reluctant on it. I would rather... Well, we can even come back to this because I think maybe even better than Rhymelock thawing out is Glacial Dominion. Scores melee after an opponent's activation step. If one or more friendly fighters holding an objective has Rhymelocked upgrades, they don't even have to be holding it when it thaws out. Like, it's a better defrosted.
Yep. Glacial Dominion and Icy Grip? Or
sure, let's go with that. So... All right, end phases. Now this is where it gets a little trickier with...
I think a big question with Plague Pack is, do we still bring Bringers of Ruination, which is corrupt all three territories?
Maybe. Let's see. So let's flip the script a little bit. What are there any auto-includes from Rhymelocked? And for me, I think it's definitely... Icebound Defenders has got to go in. That's the hold two, including all in one territory. That feels...
As Plague Pack, you need to put a objective in No Man's Land. I cannot stress that enough.
It'd be interesting to see them with Gravebreakers, if the Gravebreakers kind of wander over there and just like casually toss that objective somewhere else. You're like, oh, come on, man. Like,
right.
I was supposed to be there.
Yeah, I do think Icebound Defenders is good. I think you make it easier if you do what Plague Pack wants and, like I said, put a objective in No Man's Land.
Yeah. What do you think about steaming corpses in Infected Corpse Pile?
Okay.
So Infected Corpse Pile is two or more enemy fighters are out of action. Two territories are corrupted by your warband. Steaming corpses, one from each, and somebody has to have a Rhymelocked. I guess I'd want to know how many Rhymelocked we're taking before I go with that. But
yeah, that's a good assessment. Infected Corpse Pile is pretty reliably in my decks with Plague Pack.
Let's toss that guy in there. So we've got Icebound Defenders, Infected Corpse Pile. Tentatively steaming corpses just for the okay, that's three end phases so far. What else are the rats bringing just in house? You said Bringers of Ruination, we got to decide on. Let's see, corrupting the land. It's only one end phase, but I think it's pretty reliable.
Yeah, especially since we already are going to be in enemy territory trying to hold objectives. If any of those are any of the five other than your leader, you're going to score that one.
Yeah. So we still need two.
Staring down Ruinous Supremacy, but I don't think so.
No, probably not. Hey, let's see. Wintry Conquest. The problem is Skritter isn't helping. So as soon as you lose two of the other... No, you'd have to lose three of the other rats before that became unscorable for you. Mm-hmm. What else do we have in here? I think a line in the snow. One or more enemy fighters are out of action. Two or more friendly fighters are in no one's and or enemy's territory. So... get a kill and do the things you're wanting to do to corrupt.
What about, I'm hesitant to put a second one glory end phase in there.
Oh man, that sounds like somebody has been spoiled for choice on objectives.
We haven't even touched on Wintry Contest. Conquest.
Well, that's what I, yeah, we can throw that in there. I'll do this. Let's do Wintry Conquest as the reach and Line in the Snow as the reliable.
Sure.
All right.
I was looking at the upgrades, and I think we take at least four Rhymelocked.
Okay. Oh, does that that helps us out with steaming corpses because it means we'll probably lose somebody who has a rhyme locked. Does that push you towards some other objective that we haven't?
You know, I'm also thinking again because they have some pretty Skavix has some pretty stellar upgrades as well. Mm. They have a disgusting appearance. Nah, I'm getting ahead of myself, but
sure.
God, they have some amazing defense.
Let's do it like we did the review. Let's look at upgrades here then. So
sure. What are we currently at for objectives, just to
attract
the listeners?
So we have Blessed by Corruption, Rabid Harbingers, Scuttling Horde, Useful Distraction, Glacial Dominion, Icy Grip are our surges. And then our end phases are Icebound Defenders, Infected Corpse Pile, Steaming Corpses, Corrupting the Land, Align in the Snow, and Wintry Conquest.
Okay.
So we actually didn't grab too many that were hold in enemy territory in the end there. I think that's okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Look at upgrades and then back it off to gambits.
Yeah. So first and foremost, out of their own infection deck, disgusting appearance, +1 defense. I think that's a must.
Auto include.
Along the same lines, Chillblain armor for 2 defense. Yeah. And then the Snowblind cloak.
This is the hold an objective and have reduced. And I think you kind of want those Rhymeworm boots.
Yes.
Because not getting shoved off an objective is going to be pretty important. All right, we're 4 upgrades in. We currently have no Rhyme locked yet.
Lay Frost Conduit, of course.
Yeah.
And then
throw that in.
Gelid Cyclone.
Yeah, definitely that one for sure. Let's see. I think we want at least one more Rhyme locked if we're taking the objective that needs somebody with a Rhyme locked dead.
Yep. Polar Connection.
I can go this is a warband that's going to get some supports. Let's do that. Polar Connection.
And then I don't think Raw Power makes a cut.
Raw Power is one we didn't talk about. It's like +1 damage if you're...
If your opponent didn't roll any successes.
Yeah, I think that's great if you're swinging attacks that have cleave and such, you know, because you'll negate a lot of their faces, but not so much. I don't...
Ranged 1 attacks, too.
Yeah.
Instead, I think Frostgale gives us a range 4, very accurate attack. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. 3 hammers in snare, 1 damage.
Sure.
And it's a rhyme-locked bow.
Yeah. All right. So... That's Frostgale is what it's called.
Yes.
Okay, that puts us on Chillblain Armor, Disgusting Appearance, Snowblind Cloak, Rhymeworm Boots, Lay Frost Conduit, Gelid Cyclone, Polar Connection. That puts us at 8 upgrades. And let's take a look. We have barely dipped into the into the Plague Pack's native ones.
There's definitely some good ones to be had. I think Glorious Sacrifice is fantastic.
Okay. Screaming Lunatic, it's a +1 dice. If you got one or more charge or wounds, that's pretty incredible.
I'm going to lean more towards less the offense and more just the hold tech. And,
okay.
My recommendation would be Pox-Ridden Lucidity. This is use this after fighter's first successful range 1 range 2 attack action. Pick 1, draw a power card, or draw an objective card, then place 1 objective card at the bottom of your objective deck.
I like it. What I have found is that sometimes this comes out after you've already made a successful range 1 or 2 with somebody. Like the timing can be a little awkward on this one.
Yeah, but I feel like they have such strong surges that it's not going to be an issue of not having the glory to get it out. Mm. Instead, it's going to be, you're going to be, you would just prioritize making your moves onto the objectives and not necessarily attacking prior to this.
Okay.
The option in any given round kind of.
Then instead of the damage from Screaming Lunatic, maybe then you go with Vile Fanaticism, which is +1 dice, which increases your chance of landing this hit for the extra card or the objective cycle. Pox Ridden.
Mm.
or basically we've got one more slot. So I'm looking at, after Frostbite, we've got Pox Ridden Lucidity. I guess I haven't taken Glorious Sacrifice, so we can put Glorious Sacrifice in there and that gets us there. All right, we'll come back around. So that we've passed up on some plus one dice, plus one damage options, which are often tempting. There's Rotted Flesh, which is minus one damage from enemy fighters. You could stack that with the Snowblind Cloak for some saucy stuff. But if this is a deck where we find like, gosh, we need a little more punch, we can maybe cycle some stuff out for some of this Screaming Lunatic. All right, that puts us on Gambits. All right. Let's go. So we got four. We ended up with four total Rhyme Locked. So we should bear that in mind with how we're interacting with things. I think just looking at their in faction first, Festering Sneak is a push that helps us set up those supports and stuff. I think that's a auto include for me.
Yep. As well as move.
Yep. I think there's one that, let's see, where is it at? That gives you Grievous, but also turns you into a Beef Fowler. I think Pestilent Blessing needs to go out in there. It's a, can be crucial for converting something to a situation where you get the corruption.
Yep.
Unctuous Citations, probably.
Yep.
Okay. That's we got Festering Sneak, move, Pestilent Blessing, Unctuous Citations. What else? I think Vile Blood is kind of trash. Rancid Vomit's not great.
Overpowering Odors can really help with defense. I've not had it work for me yet, mainly because my opponent rolls crits on me. but it basically is a really good reaction timing during an attack action when... play this card during a friendly fighter's range one or range two attack action after the defense roll if that attack action would fail and there were one or more successes in the attack roll, add one to the number of successes rolled by the attacker. So you can use this to ensure a attack for yourself.
You convert this. Yeah. You convert a tie into a success essentially with this. Yeah. Let's come back to that for a second. Let's see. The Feverish Flailing is reroll one dice in the attack roll for the first attack action. That's just a timing thing. Let's hold for one. We've got four. Let's see how many Rhyme Locked we want, and then we'll return here. Does that sound fair? Yep.
No, I think we got the important ones out of the faction deck.
We'll maybe come back for one of those accuracy ones in a second here. But all right, Rhyme Locked on these. So I think Glacial Advance needs to be in there.
Yep.
If I don't know that this is actually strong enough to include for sure, but I will say that Frozen Solid would just be fun to try out a little bit. So
yep,
I would probably put that in just to toy with it, with the idea that I'll pull it back out if it seems too junky.
I like it.
Cool Heads plays into our plan.
Yep.
Of not getting shoved off of things. Brian thinks Bleak Outlook is an auto include, so we'll get that. Just kidding. what else do we want in there? So we are currently at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
In terms of plus one damage, Creeping Frost, do you think we're bringing enough Rhyme Locked, or should we squeeze another one in to make that? So this is plus one damage to the first attack action made in the next activation step if the attacker has one or more face-up Rhyme Lock upgrades.
Mm. I might, before I do that, I might go Fractured Steps, which is push a fighter one hex for each Thaw on their card.
I'm also a big fan of push.
Yeah, so let's put Fractured Steps, but we still have room. We need two more Gambits. Let's take one of those accuracy ones.
Winterborn might just wanted to delve a little bit deeper in this one. Choose a friendly fighter with one or more face down Rhyme Locked upgrades that has one or more Thaw counters and pick one of those cards. Remove one or more Thaw counters from that card. Plus one dice to the first attack action made in the next activation step by that fighter for each Thaw counter removed in this way. So you sacrifice the time that you've spent thawing for plus one dice per thaw, which can max out to only two.
Right.
Because the third will flip the card. I'm not sure I like that one just because I think we want each of these rhyme locked cards active as soon as possible.
Sure. I'm down with that. What do you say we go with one of the in faction accuracy gambits? If you like overpowering odors, we can grab that.
Otherwise, feverish flailing, you can reroll one dice in the attack action roll for the first attack action made by a friendly fighter in the next activation.
Let's do that.
Less situational. Like I said, overpowering odors is kind of bricked for me because my opponents just roll crits.
All right, we got one more spot. It could be that Creeping Frost, if we want to just have a little bit of sneaky extra damage in there, and then we're at our 10 gambits. That's kind of locked behind our four upgrades, so that feels a little bad.
How do we, what do we think about, how much more corrupt tech do we need? Because Manifestation of a Great Plague is a 66% chance to corrupt the land the priest is in.
I'm down with that. What things do we have that care about corruption in particular? It's our inspire condition, obviously. And then objective wise, I think, infected corpse pile. Yeah, I could do that. I give you a chance, late game to corrupt one territory with your priest and then rush off into the other one.
Did we also include the card that makes the other guy a priest?
Did not.
I would just add more versatility to it, but I don't think it's totally necessary because it's a card combo and niche situation.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you can just salvage the card as it is.
That's true. All right, let's give that a shot then. Give me the name of that one more time.
Manifestation of a Great Plague.
Okay. Well, that is our on-the-fly build. It'd be interesting. As someone who has played but not played all that often with Plague Pack, it's interesting to see like the different directions you can push and how we kind of came out of that without actually we took the hold stuff, but not the hold and not a whole lot of the hold in enemy territory, just enough for what we're going to do, which is dive in there, try and get it corrupted, and then get out. And you know, anyone playing this, unless they already have the deck list ahead of time, has to be worried that you're maybe trying for the corrupt three. So,
Yeah. Well, general guide with this is make sure that as soon as you can, put a objective token in No Man's Land, because that greatly helps their corrupt mechanic with getting a Befouler onto a single objective rather than having to squeeze two fighters into No Man's Land. And generally invade, you're going to want to have a Befouler in your territory, typically at all times, typically on a objective. And so as more safe as you can make that guy, the better. But I'd save the defensive upgrades for the forwardmost fighters in enemy territory. Skritter is a great tool. Put him where your opponent's just like, I want to, I can't.
Oh yeah, I forgot. He can't be gambit killed anymore, right?
Anymore.
Yeah. Right. Well, that's cool. All right. Well, that'd be fun to kind of take for a spin here. I'll see if I can get that assembled and we'll give it a try out. Actually, I think, I totally glossed over this, but I think some of the plan is that, I joked about, will Zandara's zombies just kind of pull the objectives where you don't want them. I think our hope is that we will play this against whatever the other fellows build for Zandara and report back to you at a later date. So
fun.
We reserve the right to make any tweaks. If Brian and I, take a look at this, in a couple of days, and we'll be like, what were we thinking?
I know this is only A tier. It could be S tier.
But if we do make any changes and we manage to follow through on that, battle report, we'll let you know any tweaks that have been made to it. Well, Brian, do you have anything else you want to say about Rhyme Locked or the deck build or anything like that?
Rhyme Locked, interesting. There's a few cards that I just kind of wish would have made Rhyme Locked really spicy. Holding in enemy territory is fraught with danger, so approach with caution.
Yeah, I am also interested to see how punishing it does or does not feel to have that delay on those upgrades, like in practice. When we were kind of doing the first look over of them, Phil was like, wow, what a long time to wait. And I was like, it's not that long. And I'd be interested to see whose perception is closer to it. I get it, though. Like, spending a glory to not get any immediate benefit feels kind of rough. But if you can find a way, like maybe we've done with this plague pack, to get some easy surges, put it on somebody who's not yet in danger, and then really leverage that, could be onto something.
Yeah, I would have been really sour if Snowblind Cloak and Chillblain Armor had also been rhyme locked, but those being your primary defensive ones, I think they are not rhyme locked and they just are really strong.
Sure. Yeah, that makes sense. If you have some strong opinions about the deck we made, maybe you are a devoted Plague Pack player and you can't believe that we left out X, Y, or Z, you should let us know about it. You can get in touch with us at WTHcast, whatthexcast@gmail.com. A big thanks to the patrons who help make this content possible, and also to GW for providing the preview content that lets us get on this death march of a content creation situation. But that's the thing that lets us have these available for you right as stuff is becoming available for the world to see. You can check out all the Mortal Realms content on themortalrealms.com. Coming up, our week of Underworlds continues. I may even, we won't have an episode for this, but I may even put that Farstriders deck together just to see as an alternate possibility what folks think. So,
and give the people what they want.
Yeah, it's fun to tinker. That's what you got coming up. We should be hitting the four new releases. Actually, man, Spike Cloud would be super interesting to do as well. So,
oh yeah.
All that made much easier once the deck builders have gotten where they're going. But
it's always awkward to build these decks half on DB.
Yeah, totally. All right. I am going to give you a little bit of that flavor text quiz. Are you ready?
Hit me.
All right. We'll go with, how about this? The light of Hish brings heat and hope in equal measure. Severin Steelheart.
I mean, it's got to be that baller card art, Rays of Dawn.
Yeah, exactly. I love, it's such a noble quote, and there he is, like, blood running down his face, like, oh, dude.
It really is a heavy metal album cover. I want to see Dio in there.
Well, speaking of heavy metal, your recommended listening for this episode is The Rime of the Ancient Mariner by Iron Maiden. That's nice. For What the Hex, I've been Davey.
I've been Brian.
Avoid any disasters. First, do no harm. Cool. So what did I do with that window? There it is. While connected. No, sorry. We're going to skip that. That's too. That has it in the quote. I was going to say, while connected to the glacial ley lines.